Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? Success leaves footprints. I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. And we often look at Black history, the Black experience, as if it did not exist. But it exists. Why don't we know about it? Because in so many instances, the history is not written by those people that are affected by the history. Yes, we do have Black historians, but they often don't get the play that other people receive. There seem to be two large gaps in information that is passed on in our community. One of those is amazing achievement. We don't often talk about it. And therefore, when we look at the stereotypes that are presented on a constant basis, we often feel that there is no Black history, no history that comes from Africa. But we begin to see that there is a tremendous amount. Another area that we don't get the full impact of is slavery itself. Because there were so many cruel and inhumane activities that took place during this period of time that dehumanized people, an entire race of people. And we don't want to look back at it because it might embarrass someone. And this is not a good way of looking at things because we don't have the opportunity to discuss them. This program is a little bit different because we are part of a miniseries. We're into the voting season, deep into the voting season. And many elections will be decided in less than 30 days. But the discussion that we're having today is always relevant. We're having an election now in what is termed an off-year election. And what does that mean? That means that the president is not in the cycle. Many people feel that that is the only office worth voting for. But that is far, far from the truth. Because we just saw a recent seating of a Black female Supreme Court justice, Associate Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. We see the case that has come up before her. We see that there is a depth of reasoning there that we have not had before. And why is that important? Because as we look at decisions that affect people's lives, we are always reminded that you are judged by a jury of your peers. People that have some idea of what you've gone through, have some idea of what to look for, have some idea of circumstances surrounding case. When we look at the current Supreme Court justices, there are only three that ever attended public schools. Only three. Now, that has to have some skew into the way that you look at cases that come before you. When we look at the number of people that have represented a defendant, there's only one. Nobody else has handled a case of a person appearing in court. And that makes a big difference. But what we're coming up against is trying to educate people to the fact of how much of the inner workings of how government operate, to the point that we have an understanding, we know the importance of what's going on. Recent cases that have appeared have been decided by people that have no idea. The 1965 Voting Rights Act was gutted under the Roberts Court, John Roberts, when they took out sections of the Voting Rights Act. And why did they take them out? There were certain states that had a long history of violating rights of people to vote. Primarily, these were black people. But other people have been also impacted by that. And let me give you a case where another group was impacted. In that particular case, we're talking about the indigenous people. We're talking about the Native Americans, the people that owned this entire country before Europeans ever got here. And what do? They take certain actions which impact a particular group. In this case, many Native Americans live on reservations. And what they did was, in some cases, said, no, you must have a home mailing address. You can't pick up your mail. Now, some of these people are living in somewhat isolated. So what that did is that cut off their ability to be registered and to vote. Not all of them. And it looks like a very simple request. Let's take a look at the identification. Most of us have identification. But there are significant numbers that do not. When I was younger, I was always running around, and so it was somewhat of an imposition, but not much, to register to vote. But there are some people that seldom get out of their homes. Should they be denied the right to vote because they can't go down to the DMV and stand in an hour's long line in order to get the identification? When we have people that were born without a birth certificate, and that's possible, then we are denying them the right to vote. Are there other ways that it can be done? Yes, but it places a particular encumbrance on people, particular group. Generally, those people are those that are financially unable to. This includes white as well. And in many cases, it appears that what happens is those people in charge are willing to hurt some of their own as long as someone else is hurt more. So this is why it's important when we look at it. Some people have been voting for decades, and now we put an imposition on them that says, hold it, not so fast, just because you're a citizen. And just because you voted for 30 or 40 or 50 years here doesn't mean that you can vote this year. We don't make it easy on those people to vote. We cut hours down. I just recently saw a piece on TV in which a woman, obviously a caregiver, took her white client to vote. They were in and out in 6 minutes because it was well staffed. They had adequate numbers of everything. When she went to vote in her black precinct, or maybe it wasn't a black precinct, but a predominantly black precinct, we find that it takes hours to vote. There should be some equality in that. When we make it difficult for people to drop off a ballot into a recognized and monitored drop-off box, we're making it difficult. Because when we look at the financial edge and what is taking place, many people don't have the luxury of being able to take off and vote. Because if you're not there, you're not paid. Many people are given the side eye if they want to take some hours off to go vote. Ridiculous as that sounds, it is a reality. We talk about these encumbrances being placed in a community or communities because we see it with indigenous people. We see it sometimes with people of Oriental descent, Mexican descent. And you can make it extremely difficult to vote in some areas because of the way that it is set up. Now, Georgia passed a law that you cannot even give a person a bottle of water. You may have a diabetic. You can't give them anything, or you are breaking the law. As long as that does not sway anybody's vote, does not advertise a particular candidate, what is wrong with it? Now, this is nothing new. It's nothing new because we've done this since time immemorial. We sometimes hear about the Reconstruction Amendments. And let me be clear about this. We had the Emancipation Proclamation, and many people think that that freed the slaves. It did not. Freed them in the former states that were the United States that seceded. They seceded and formed a separate country. They had a president, Jefferson Davis. They had a vice president, Alexander Stevens. They had a constitution that constitutes a country. And that country took up arms against the United States of America. When we hear about history, it's sometimes described, the Civil War is sometimes described as the War of Northern Aggression. But who fired the first shots? The South fired the first shots. And so we see a difference of opinion emerging. The 13th Amendment, the amendment to the Constitution put forth by the founding fathers to guide this country in a democracy, a great experiment. But they did this in order to give those people. Now, and the reason that I say that not all of the slaves were freed under the Emancipation Proclamation is that you're telling what happens in another country. But it did allow those that were taken over by Union troops to free the slaves. When we look at Juneteenth, a year and a half after the end of the Civil War, those people had been worked for a year and a half. And you cannot convince me that word of what was taking place did not make it there in that period of time. It made it there. But they never wanted people to vote. We look at the three-fifths compromise, and there are people with their mouths stuck out a mile because blacks were counted as three-fifths of a human being. I see a different take on that, and I wish that it hadn't been as high as three-fifths of a person. And let me tell you why. Because the vote and the representation was determined by population. The South got more bang out of this thing because they were able to count black people as part of their population, which gave them a stronger hold than they should have had. It wouldn't have bothered me if it had been one-fifth. I know that I am a full human being. But the compromise gave them power that they had no intention of passing on to anyone. Now, when we look at the 14th Amendment, this granted citizenship. And citizenship basically says that you have all rights and privileges of anybody else. We hear this many times when we join the church. You have the rights and privileges of everybody that's here already that is a member. And that's what was intended. It was to level the playing field. It considered race because that was the purpose of having it there, to give people some equity in the country. Now, prior to that time, owning of property, granting of rights was not automatic, and black people were denied. We see many aspects of history that when we gloss over them and don't look into what they mean, we don't understand what's taking place. Let me give you an example. The Grandfather Clause. Now, the Grandfather Clause looked at those people before the Civil War while they were requiring black people to pass tests, sometimes with, or most often, with questions that had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with citizenship. We hear the case of how many bubbles are in a bar of soap, how many jelly beans are in a particular jar. And the people that are asking these questions don't know the answer. There is no answer. If it was, we could study it and put it down. But this is just an impedance to having the right to vote, to having the right to be counted, to having a say in what's happening in your country. People have died in more ways than one. And what I mean by that is a couple of weeks back. Now, we bring this show on to for you every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and whatever that translates out to in your part of the world. Because we have listeners all over these United States and in many other countries. And what that means is that you should have all the rights and privileges of anyone else. All of them. But they were not given universally. Because many of the riots, much bloodshed took place because of riots to prevent black people from voting. Many of the acts of civil disobedience took place against black people for the act of trying to register, of trying to vote. Here in South Carolina, we have the Phoenix riots, not Arizona, but South Carolina. The governor, Benjamin Pitchfork Tillman, was leading opposition. Now, there's a juxtaposition of parties here, because at one time, all blacks were Republicans. And this goes to the fact that they would sign up to register anybody. And so most blacks signed up time the Democrats had what they considered to be all white primaries. If you were black, you couldn't even vote in the primary to select the person to run in the general election. And that changed when we went from the Democrats to the Dixiecrats to the Republicans. And the pendulum swung at that point. And I believe this was in the 50s or 60s when we started seeing these changes take place. So when I talk about a party, we need to look at the substance of the party rather than the label of the party. At one time, Democrats, everything that they could to prevent black people from voting, from black votes being counted. And when we talk about the Phoenix riots, there were black people registered to vote who were denied, shot, killed, chased from their homes because they wanted to exercise the right to vote. And it was the Democrats who were doing this. Now, I'm not trying to tell you which party that you should vote for. You vote your conscience. What I am intending to do is to tell you to exercise your right. And I think that in order to do that, you need to be informed. What does this mean? So we see actions like this. We see that in some cases where we have and have had for a long time is souls to the polls. People go to church, and some people go to church, and that's the only outing they have that week. People are willing to give them rides to church. And what happened is since we had a large number of these people out, if they wanted to go to the polls, we took them. But when you start shutting down that, the impact is not the same for everybody. Because some of these people have no transportation. Many of them have given up their driver's license because they can't physically afford or physically meet the requirements of the driver's license. Many times it is financial. But on the other hand, after the Civil War, we heard of grandfather clause. That sounds very benign. Couldn't hurt a fly with that, could you? But what that says was that while people had to take tests, had to pay poll taxes in one form or another, that if you were white and dumb as a rock or not even as smart as a rock, if your grandfather could have voted, then you are automatically in. How is that fair? Because black people were denied, even killed, chased off of their land. A couple of weeks ago, I tell you, we come on here every week. Same time, Sunday. When we talked about Ruby Bridges, 6-year-old girl, integrated school in the South. She was the only black student that went to that particular school. There were 3 other black kids that went to a different school. Now, all white kids went to the school without any hindrance whatsoever. If you were of age to go to school, you went to school and you went to that school. And while people are thinking that the only thing we wanted to do was to sit in class with a white person, you've got another chance to look at this. Because what was taking place is generally 2 to 10 times as much was being spent on the white schools as the black schools. The black schools, like I attended, got hand-me-down books. When they were no longer useful to the white people, they were old, they were battered, they were beaten, were given to the black kids. This is not even setting people up for the type of education they need to succeed. And this is what has been taking place. And this is what we are seeing today. It is more sophisticated today than it was in the past because people are figuring out ways to hone this to a skill, hone it so that they can do it with surgical precision. Now, next week, we're going to talk about gerrymandering. And gerrymandering is the reason, in case you have not noticed this before, there are more people that vote Democratic than Republican. And we're going to find out why the representation is disproportionate. It is because of gerrymandering, and we're going to talk about that next week. But when we look at what is taking place today, we have all manner of sophisticated schemes designed with the purpose of eliminating the vote of certain people. Now, as we start into, as we are underway on the program, we have many people that are listening to us on our devices, and we dearly love you and hope that you will spread the word, because we have a varied topic base that we talk about. And it's not just for black people, because it affects white as much or more than it affects us. Why? Because the story that we have been fed all of our lives is that nothing positive has come from Africa or from the people from Africa. And I'm just now doing a post that will be out in the future on the Ashungo Bone, which talks about the development of mathematics 18,000 years B.C. When we are doing this, and when we are coming up with astronomical observations that have not been, we know that they're there because we can calculate them, but they haven't yet seen them, and these people knew about them thousands of years before Christ, something is wrong. When you put out rumors that the people that have done these things haven't made any contribution to civilization. When we look back, we find that Timbuktu had over 10,000 people, which is amazing number of people to have without constant war, battle, and bickering. And yet, 25% of all the people that lived there were scholars. And then you're going to tell me that we've done nothing? I was so shocked the first time I went to Africa and saw the people there, met with people there. I never stayed in a hotel. I always stayed with people. And I was impressed with them from one end to the other. Yet when we get here, where opportunities are supposed to be great, we don't allow it. We suppress it. We do everything that we can to try to take those things out. When we shorten voting hours, do so and put an encumbrance upon people that don't have the luxury of taking off to vote. What kind of society is that? That takes a group and denies them. We're based on opportunity for all people. That's why it's not fair to white people. Because had you known some of what we have done, then you will understand that we have the ability to do more. But you want a system. There is currently a case, I believe it's in Arkansas, 27% of all the residents there are black. And yet when it comes to representation, they want to cut it down to one district, one. And they do this by cracking and stacking. We're going to talk about it next week. cracking and stacking goes to the point where you take a district and you split it in such a manner that one group doesn't have enough people in it to elect anybody, but then you don't put them in a group in which they can do that. This is what's happening down in Arkansas. That's why 27% of the people don't have the ability to elect but one representative. When we talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and sometimes when I'm talking about these names, you may not completely understand it because you have not paid a lot of attention to politics, and I really understand that. You don't know how strongly I resisted any knowledge or wanting to understand what was going on because I was always on the wrong end of this equation. Didn't affect me. No matter what I did, it wasn't going to change anything. That is until I got into the fringes of the system and began to see what we could do. We think that the only way that we have power is in the presidential election. I want you to understand something that's taking place right today, right this minute, right this second. And that is the only reason Ketanji Brown Jackson is on the court is because the 45th president had made a vow to do so. And that wouldn't have been possible had it not been members of his party being elected in Georgia, Ossoff and Warnock. And what this did is it shows you the power of what's happening. When we look and we think that the most people win, that is not the case. The 44th president did not win the majority of the votes in either of his elections. But what happens? We go into an electoral college. The electoral college has two members for every state, no matter the size. And so we take a state like Wyoming with 600,000 people, and they get the same vote as the 40 million people in California. Is there a way that this can be changed? Yes. Do I have a proposal on what it should be? No, I don't. But there are brilliant minds listening to this program and others that show us that we need to be involved. Here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, where I am now, there was at one time a swim center located in the neighborhood accessible to many older black people. It was essential. The first time we heard anything was wrong is they were going to completely defund it and tear it down. How does that happen? We're not on the city council. We're not on the planning commission. We're not on any of the bodies that make these decisions. And it's too late. Oftentimes when the decision has been reached, there is no such thing as a vote an election that does not matter. None. I want you to understand that when we saw Derek Chauvin and kill Floyd, that the prosecuting attorney plays a vital role. That man that took the case was in a position like that. If we don't have someone in that position, it's like in the Breonna Taylor case. No charges were brought. When we look at Ahmaud Arbery, no charges were brought because they said, I don't think I can make a case out of this. We need people in there who are concerned. We need people in there who will stand up for the office, not who is involved, but what took place. What took place? We have power within our hands. And if we don't have it in our hands, we certainly have the ability to influence enough people to do it. We had a governor here in South Carolina, Nikki Haley. There were enough registered black voters that didn't even get out and vote. Now, that's just two counties. I think there's probably close to 40 in the state. But in these two counties, there were enough people that could not get off of their easy chair, get out of their easy chair and go down and vote, which would have changed it. This is why in Georgia, there is currently a controversy over the Confederate flag, carving out areas where it can be flown. And let me tell you, that's a sticky wicket. The Confederate flag doesn't mean to me what it means to most people. Because in my youth, as I was growing up, I never heard on the news of a lynching that did not show that flag prominently. I know what it means. It's intended to intimidate me. It's intended to scare me. It's intended to keep me from doing anything. But guess what, folks? It ain't working. It ain't working. And I am soliciting you to become involved. Now, as we are in the midst of the program, let me give you some information here. Because this is an interactive program, I want to hear from you. Those of you that are on devices, God bless you. I love you and hope that you will continue to tune in. But in order for me to interact with you, you need to call in. And you don't need to do it now, but very shortly you will. And the only reason that you need to do that is not so that I can see the number of people online, but so that you can interact, because I can see you on my screen when you call in, but not when you come in through one of the other methods, on your cell phone, on your computer, your tablet, or other device. I do not see you. I can't recognize you. I can't ask the question. And if you disagree with me, that's fine too. I'm not telling you how to vote. Yeah, I am. I'm telling you how to vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying that we need to be involved. I look at it from the standpoint that if I don't vote, I'm basically saying, hey, Bubba, you go down there and whatever you think is good, all right? Yeah. Bubba don't give as much of a hoot about me as he does stepping on an ant as he goes to the polls. I want my voice to be registered and recognized. I know too many people that understand this value. I'm getting into an age group where we don't stand around very well, but people are willing to do it. When we had prior presidential election, a lady 102 years old stood for hours, and that could have all been changed had they made better accommodations for people. It shouldn't take all day to vote. And where much of the argument comes about is about fraudulent voting. There are laws on the books now that penalize people for fraudulent voting. It is an extremely small number, extremely small. And yet and still, when sentences are passed down, if they ever get that far, the treatment of black people is way, way, way more severe than they are to anybody else. Now, let me give you that number because I want to give you the opportunity to call in, call me out, do whatever you want to. But I do ask, because we do have younger listeners, we have other people around, that you be mature about what you talk about, that we don't downplay any person, and we watch the language that we are using. Let's be respectful, because we can do that. That number is 646-668-8217. Again, the area code is 646-668-8217. You can also hear the program while you're on the phone, obviously, but it does give me the opportunity of recognizing you, which we will do in just a few more minutes. I take the liberty of giving information prior to opening the phones, primarily because I can do it. And I think in many cases we have people that may not be aware of all of the subjects that we talk about. Let's look at Ruby Bridges. Ruby Bridges was 6 years old when she entered a white school. Parents took their kids out. White parents took their kids out of school, not just in her class, not just in her grade, in the whole school, to keep them from having to go to school with one black kid in attendance. One! They would rather deny their kids than to allow them to go to a school with this one person. On AmazingBlackHistory.com, we have over 250 posts. On those posts, we have a summary. We have videos. We have books so that you can dig as deep as you want into the subject matter there. The intent of this is to inform you and give you a running start on more information if you want to study it more. I found with great embarrassment, and I was old enough to probably have figured it out, but I hadn't, because I thought that schools were giving me everything I needed to know. They don't. They do not. That's why we talk about some basic problems, basic solutions. Because if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. We look at these areas, and the information that we give is so that you can be better informed on what's taking place in our world. We're seeing the subtleties come up where people are being denied the opportunity to vote. And in some cases, I don't know why the cities don't provide free transportation to the polls for the people. I don't understand it, because everybody in this society should have equal representation. But as I was talking about the Electoral College, and we have 600,000 people having the same vote as 40 million people in California, we have 700,000 people in Washington, D.C. that don't have Representative One. Some of these things need to change. There are reasons that we don't give statehood to Puerto Rico and others. And it's a political decision. It's a political decision as to why they are not in there. We have these territories, but we don't treat them as if they are citizens. Maybe we shouldn't. But you need to have an opportunity to voice your opinion on it. We need to put strong people in office. When we look at the prosecuting attorneys or solicitors or whatever they're called in your particular area, we need someone that's going to do what needs to be done. We are saying that the only way that we can take care of a drug problem, for example, is to put people in jail. The number one country on the entire planet with the highest number of incarcerated people is America, the United States of America. Now, we had Oregon take a very bold step. And to the best of my knowledge, it is a great accomplishment. Whereas we feel that put somebody in a cage, leave them chained up for years, and then expect them to come out and do something different. Sometimes these people would do well staying with their grandmother. But grandmother's living in public housing. You can't be in public housing and have a record. Oregon, on the other hand, rather than criminalizing all of the people, are giving treatment. Did you hear that? Now, we have gone through evolutions of everything. It used to be that any drug use was because of low morals. But we're finding now that white people are ODing, they're on drugs the same as anybody else. When we look at marijuana in this country, for example, and a lot of states are legalizing it, it is not totally legal because the federal government has not done so. But Biden has taken away and pardoned many people for simple possession. Simple possession. Let me describe that to you. Basically, that's a guy walking around with a joint who has not done any other crime. He's not had so much that he intends to distribute or anything else. It's like your next door neighbor gets caught with a joint and is sentenced. And these sentences are disproportionate. Even the amount of charges are disproportionate. Many times somebody is found with it and they just have to throw it out, step on it, do something like that. But when it comes to other groups, they're treated harshly, extremely harsh. This is why we had the problem between crack and cocaine. Same drug, but you had to have, I don't know, 40, 50, 100 times as much cocaine to equal the crack or vice versa. A small amount of crack, I mean, and you were in big, big trouble. But you could have way more than that, and crack is made from cocaine. It's just not fair. It's time to introduce fairness into our system. Fairness into our system. Now, at this point, I see that we have my friend on. I don't see anyone else on. I'm going to open the mics very shortly so that we can have some discussion. But those of you that want to join and participate in this discussion, that number is 646-668-8217. We just lost a listener a few minutes ago. I don't know whether it was a phone connection or maybe I just wasn't getting over to him or whatever. But this is the time to talk and discuss these issues because they are extremely important to us. If we don't make statements in this election, we may never have another election. When we are talking about issues such as abortion, I personally don't know what my feeling is on abortion. But I don't know that I am the person that should determine what takes place between you and your God as to what should happen. I see some things that scare the heck out of me. Whereas a woman has a child that's going to be born without a skull, meaning that child is going to die at or shortly after birth, but is forced to carry it. When we have rape, and most people are ashamed of rape and don't do anything right away. And part of that goes back to the way that police and other people view rape, that you were asking for it. You wanted to be violated. We are more civilized than that. It is time for us to come up with better solutions to problems. And the only way that we can do it is to become involved. We can hold positions in our city, our county, our state level, and that feeds into a system of federal. Yeah, you can run for one of the other offices, but I think it's nice to understand the undergirding that is necessary. When we look at people, and I saw an interview recently with where they were talking about Herschel Walker, who is in a little bit of difficulty because of information coming about that he paid to have an abortion, wanted this woman to have an abortion 2 years later, and she wouldn't do it, and so they broke up. But a member of his particular party said, I don't care if he's giving the abortions himself. I just want to take control of Congress. What does that mean? Nothing matters. Reasonableness does not matter. Religious teachings do not matter. I just want power. Power. And then watch and see what happens. My friends, I hope that you don't come up and have your grandchildren say, when this came up, what did you do? And you say, I didn't do anything. I had to watch my show. The fact that you don't have liberty didn't mean enough to me to get out and study the issues and to vote. When we have all mail-in ballots, and some states do it, Washington, Oregon, and some others do, we don't have all of the voter fraud that many people are complaining about. When we have same-day registration, we don't have that. We need to keep fraud out, but it's not been a problem. Florida, on the other hand, has told people that you can register to vote, and the state has given them clearance to vote, and when they do, they incarcerate them. California is taking some progressive steps. Your state may want to do the same thing. I'm not saying that you have to do the same thing, but I think it is a valid concern. When we look at Vermont and Maine, they allow people in jail to vote because they say that although you have committed a crime, you have not given up your citizenship. You have not given up your citizenship. So I'm going to have my friend Marshall come on. If anybody else wants to join us, please do, because we encourage you to do this. This is how we learn. This is how we share ideas. It's not a one-person, one-idea world anymore. I value your input. Want to see you there. Mr. James, are you around?
Yes, sir. Mr. Abercrombie, how are you doing today?
I am doing well and hope that you are too.
Yes, sir, doing just fine. Sitting here listening to you and what you're telling us about voting, and that is so true. We need more people to come up and stand up and get on our city council, our county council, so that we can be recognized, so that our voice can be heard. And if we don't do that, we can't blame nobody but ourselves. All we can
right.
do is just blame ourselves. Because if we don't get up and get out, and how your voice is going to be heard? It can't be heard there at the house. If it is, and your wife, nobody hearing it but your wife and children, a lot of time they don't want to hear it. But there is a way, and we have to find it. Get on out there and be. We are the future. We always say our children are the future for life, for themselves and all. But no, we are the future. We are the future for the next generation. It's what choice we make now is going to be presented to them for the future. We are the future right
mm-hmm.
now. Yes, we are the future. Then the changes that we make is what they're going to be living with for the next few years. Now, if this thing happens like what you're saying, we the preacher right now. If we get people in there that things will be changed and we can continue to hold the House and the Senate, then we can say that we are the future for our kids. And if not, if they win, then we didn't do what we supposed to did.
Right. Right.
No.
Yeah, we need to take responsibility where responsibility yeah. falls, and not blame yeah. it on somebody else. We got people waiting for Martin Luther King to come back. Now, he's a great man. I am not taking anything away from him. But we don't have
yeah.
the luxury of waiting. We have quality people listening to us right now.
Yes,
that
sir.
Need to be throwing the ring.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
You can win the discussion down at the pool hall, but unless you step up and put your name on the roster and vote, you ain't doing us no good.
No good. No good at all. That's right. And I'm so glad to know that you are on, and I'd be excited from 1 week to the next, knowing that I'm going to hear you, and you're going to be telling us something that's productive for us, something that we need to be doing for ourselves. Don't wait on somebody else. You be the person. You be the mentor or the leader. Don't wait on someone else to do it. There's going to be a
right.
meeting tomorrow night. Be a meeting tomorrow night at TK Grigg, the NAACP will meet out there. Now, here I am at my age, and we still going to the NAACP meetings at TK Grigg tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. There at Spartanburg.
Now, that's in Spartanburg. And do you know the address?
Yeah. No, I do not know that. Did TK Grigg, did they build another center?
I think they
somebody
were
said
to.
They did. If they didn't, it would be at the old one off right off of Pine Street.
Yeah, anybody that's in or near the area of Spartanburg, South Carolina, heed that information.
Yeah.
Politics,
yeah, that's
and,
right. So we've still been active with the NAACP. Yes.
Yes, sir. So I want to tell you a little bit about Marshall. And I met Marshall a few years ago, and I've been good friends with him because he is active. This is a man that doesn't just talk. He does action. And not too long ago, and I think we made tremendous progress there, they're cleaning out a black cemetery between Welford, Florence Chapel, Church, and what's the other one?
New Trinity.
And
New
Trinity.
Yes.
And there were people in the neighborhood that didn't even know it was there. That is history, folks. And I think we found stones going back into the early 1800s, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir. Early 1800s. Yes, sir. A lot of people were buried there because it was a community graveyard at one time. Everybody before New Trinity had a graveyard. Everybody that passed away and all, they buried their peoples out there at this particular graveyard. Then when they come up with the other churches and could buy property, they have their own cemetery, but part of their people is buried there in this same cemetery.
Okay. Yeah. Now, have you talked to Greg McKee since he went up to, was it Raleigh or Durham?
Yes, Durham, yes. He went up there doing the same thing up there. Yes, he's very, very active. Oh, white guy, I tell you, he is a real friend of mine. And so we're going to be back out there at Florence Chapel on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Anybody may be listening want to come. We don't have very much work to do right now. It's to what we did. It's a truck coming to pick up the trash, and we want to try to get it all out there. So we're going to have to make two loads. That's what we'll be doing Tuesday out there.
Okay. Yeah, and I can tell you that it looks a whole lot better. We need to honor our ancestors
yes.
and what they have done.
Yes.
And I have found
yes.
that there are so many accomplishments that you would be proud, not only as black people, but of any culture, nation, race, whatever, that within America we've been able to do so much. So
right.
much has been possible. Now, one of the things that I found out is that we have a lot of white people carrying a burden that they don't need to carry.
That's right.
Because not every person descended from slave owners, even white people. There were white people that were fighting with us as well as we were. But because we're not told the full story, we don't know it. Now, where I differ from most people is I don't care if your ancestors were slave owners. The problem is getting us out of the mess that we're in now. And if you're willing to do that, then you're my friend. You're on my side. We're together. And that's
right.
what makes a country great.
Yes, true. There was a white guy that was with us a couple of meetings ago, and when we was having lunch, he said, I just want you all to know. He stood up. He said, I just want you all to know. Said, since I've been out here cleaning up this African-American graveyard, he said, I'm so guilty of my own race. He said, when I go back home, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do something about my own family grave and where my own people are buried at. Said, I just want you all to understand that. It just come to him out there cleaning up, volunteering. Because everybody come is volunteering to help clean up this black graveyard, and he's a white guy. He said, but I'm so guilty of my own race of not doing that because they one that brought us this far where we at. And I thought that was a wonderful thing for this guy to say that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised the number of white people that come out when we can't get black people to come out.
Can't get our own people to come. That is so true. That's true.
This is our heritage. Whether it is a direct ancestor of mine or not, it's my history.
and therefore,
we ought to be willing to get out there and do what we can. I'm not physically able to do what I used to could do, but I support it in any way that I can.
Yes,
any
sir,
way that I can.
Thank you. Yes, really, certainly appreciate you and your wife. You all has been a great asset and a great help to us, and I want the world to know. And I'm telling everybody I can, when I go back to the barber shop this week, I'm going to be sure to drop that 2 cents on these guys at the barber shop and tell them all this stuff that they digging for as a football game. They won't ever be able to make it, but they can do something right here, right now. Yes.
Yes. You know, and we think that football is something completely disassociated. But when you look back, we have made some progress because there was a time when a black quarterback was completely unheard of.
Unheard of, that's true.
That, that a white person wouldn't take any order from a black guy. And yet we've won Super Bowls. We've done everything else under the sun. And we can do more.
Yes.
But we need to get out. We need to expand our comfort zone. Once we understand what we have done. Now, when I mentioned that the bone that was found over in Africa, this is 18,000 years before Christ, we were coming up with the concept of mathematics, astronomical observations. And yet and still, we want to think that things are like they are with Tarzan, that we were afraid of everything over there, and this white man had to come over and tame the world. And that's the biggest myth that has ever come down the pipe. Because if it hadn't been for black people showing them how to live, they would have been eaten to death by mosquitoes, and that was happening. But we are all a part of an immense world. When we talk about Emma Lazarus and the poem that's at the foot of the Statue of Liberty, and it says, "Give me your tired, poor, huddled masses." The most important line above that is left out. And what it says is, you keep your best, give us the rest, and we will succeed. And that's where we're missing. That's what we're missing. And we need to do that. Now, if anybody else wants to come on, please do so, because we're going to be on only as long as we have people talking. And if you want to, that number is 646-668-8217. Again, that's 646-668-8217. That number can be used any of the weeks that you come on. But again, I like Marshall because he is active. Not only are he and his brother part of the legendary James Brothers, and they've been performing for 75 years, but he is active in the state and has been given state awards for what he does. I admire people that will get out there and do it. Now, let me give you this story, too, because we look for Martin Luther King to return. When Martin Luther King was in Montgomery, I know the guy that nominated him for the leadership role. Martin Luther King didn't go there to be a leader. He went there to be a preacher. And Edgar Nathaniel French Sr. nominated him. And when he nominated him, he took the position and he took it seriously. And we are sitting back with as much ability, because when you ask, the Lord will send a teacher. He will send a guide to get you safely through. That's why you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and have no fear. You need to be willing to do what you can do. You need to be willing to accept what he puts on you, because you can be that great leader. And I'm looking for you. We're dependent upon you. Marshall, any other closing remarks or comments?
No, Mr. Abercrombie, just proud that and glad that you're on the air. So the people that is interested, and Lord knows there are some people interested, and we just going to have to get the word out. We put it on our anniversary brochure, your number and everything, where people could reach you, but there's only so much you can put on there. But I'm going to be spreading this information more and more as I go along as to where, how they can reach you and how they can listen to you and get involved on the program that you have on Sunday. And God bless you, and you're doing a wonderful job, and don't let nobody tell you different. I know you're doing a good job. Cause it's gonna
I'm hard-headed enough that I ain't going to listen if I don't want to hear what they say. But I'm going to get you some of my cards that have the Amazing Black History on it, and there's a QR code on the back so that you can go through it your phone or anything else. And anybody else wants some of the cards, let me know. We'll get them to you. And it's been a pleasure. It's always been a pleasure. I'm still waiting for you to I don't know whether it takes warmer weather or not for you to cook that fish again, but
we certainly will.
Sir. Yeah, this is a man that believes in what he is doing, and that's what we want. We have friends of all races, cultures, nationalities, genders, and everything else, and that's what it takes to build a better world. So if there are no other comments or concerns, we're going to close this out. Hope that you'll come back next week, because we're going to talk about gerrymandering and how we're being boxed out of the system. Out of the system when we do vote. So this is part of a series, and we need to keep that series handy so that we know the power that we have. I want to thank all of my listeners that have come in. I want you to join us. But in the meantime, we'll see you again next week. All of you be blessed. Be blessed and take to heart. And don't shy away from taking action.
Yes. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.